Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Tech Bytes with the Gateway. As always, I'm here with my co-hosts, Amin and Biagio. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Ciao a tutti.
It's awesome to be here. I know we have a couple of articles. As always, technology is changing and throwing us new curveballs. But I want to start this conversation kind of on a continuation of our last episode and really kind of looking at how we are owning content, who's creating them, and then really how some of these AI models are taking them. So I'm specifically looking at an article right now, which we will post a link on, talking about how OpenAI and Google are using transcriptions of YouTube videos to train their AI models, which automatically starts to make me question who owns what, because are we just taking people's content and training models and then being able to create other content based off of that? Am I wrong to think that that could cause some problems?
I don't think you're wrong. I think there is a conversation to be had after we've had the internet allowed us to post and author things and publish things without a publisher. Then there is a conversation about what is a public domain. I think we should really rethink in this day and age when it is easy to really systematically gather and organize publicly available information, then we need to rethink what exactly ownership fits in after information is published in this type of setting. For example, LinkedIn sued a company who was scraping data off of their public profiles, and that was valuable data. And LinkedIn realized that, other than advertising, that data is their most valuable asset. And they couldn't hide it behind private profiles, because the public nature of someone's career profile is kind of the selling point of LinkedIn. And they lost that battle in court a few years ago that said information that is published is public. They can, just like they can read it, a robot can read it too. Of course, LinkedIn can say, I will stop robots, but they can, and that's their right. They say, I allow humans on my website, not robots. But then they would have to engage in that battle of identifying robots and robots disguising as actual users, which they are quite successful in doing that. So scraping LinkedIn data has been fair game since. And I think these are similar in nature, but people were scraping LinkedIn data to train models, but they weren't training large language models. They weren't training to create career profiles that would compete with the people who created LinkedIn profiles, right? They were using to analyze labor market or make predictions about labor market and flow of skills or level of college education and things like that. But now with, I think the reason this is different is people are taking speech samples of people and giving it to a model that can reproduce it with different content. For example, when I say, I'm an Android guy, they could record my voice, train it, and make me say, I'm an Apple guy, which would offend me. So I think that's the problem. The nature of the problem is different that way.
Yeah, I think that some of this problem has been around like for a while, right? There is so much data available online, and as you mentioned, like web scraping is not something new. I think just with generative AI, it goes to a different level, just for how much data is used to train those models. And for example, how difficult it is to give kind of recognition to the people that, for example, come up with some ideas. You know, because, like, let's be honest, like I've seen people before, even generative AI and ChatGPT was a thing, And I give the example of this golf, right? There is, you're trying to learn this golf, there are so many tutorials videos, and if you look at the different channels, like they pretty much teach the same thing, they just call different names, right? And some of them refer to previous creators that came up with this drill or stuff like that to practice. But I mean, in the end of the day, it's pretty much reinventing, not reinventing the same wheel, but just explaining with your own words an idea that somebody else come up with, and they probably come up with some from somebody else that they saw at the park, whatever it is, right? So it's not, I don't think it's a new problem. I think it's just more difficult to give recognition to the people that came up with those ideas. Is because, like, you know, you can ask, okay, provide me some reference for these things, right? But first of all, I'm not sure is that accurate in reporting to you. What is the reference? I try a couple of times, and there were articles that don't even exist. So I kind of stop using and go the old route on, you know, searching papers and keyword search when it comes to academic paper. But beyond that, it's very hard to give recognition to the people that created. I think another big topic that you kind of touch upon, and I think it's going to be problematic in the future, is what you were saying about the ability of replicating voices and even replicating, like, with just an image, like the ability of making it look like you are speaking, right? So you are Hamid Bahedian, a professor at NIU. I can go on NIU website. I'm not suggesting anybody to do it,
I'm
but
very
I can
interested
go.
in what we can suggest. I mean.
Yes, no, yeah. I can go on the NIU websites, right? And then I can take a picture of you. And I know that there are AIs, and I can take your voice from this podcast. And I know that there are AI tools that then make it possible for just using your image and your voice to create clips of something that you never said, right? So then that becomes a whole different problem, and again, disinformation for disinformation purposes, for, you know, reputation purposes, like that's pretty serious stuff. And I don't know, especially on social media, I have to find it what it was, but there was an Instagram post of Jokic talking about Murray choking again, where they simply replicated a conference, a press conference of Jokic, say that pretty much Murray was just like, if he doesn't wake up, they will go home and they will go play with his ponies in Serbia. And I guarantee, if he wasn't saying ponies with Serbia, I would think that is true. It was a true video, right? So I don't know if social media don't keep up with this stuff. I think then it will be a big problem in the long run, because a lot of people will truly believe. And I think we can post the link to the what I'm talking about as well, Russ, so people can see what AI is already capable of doing.
Well, and then it builds into a larger issue that is coming across society where we're all on different understandings of what reality is. And most of the time, 10, 15 years ago, even going further back to 20 years ago, we all had an understanding of at least what the rules were, what facts were, what was up and what was down, what was real and what wasn't. And the only people that didn't were intentionally trying to play with that, and you kind of knew that. When we're presented with very real experiences, it makes you all question. Then we're all kind of walking around not expecting anything to be what it is, and you almost then put up a shield of being scammed at all times. So it's undercutting trust between other humans, which we all at some point have to trust another person to be able to function in our world, or at least in Western, civilized societies. I'm not saying that that's what it should be, but if I'm not trusting that the traffic lights are the right colors, then that's going to be a real problem for my commute to work. But we're not that far away from being able to change those, or at least alter them, or have something happen that then now I'm not trusting that stuff. And then I'm just going to go off of what benefits me the most and utilize the facts that I want that advance my life in the best way possible. And I'm not sure that that works out for all of us.
I agree, but I just want to mention that the physical world is fine. We can still go into the physical world and be sure that the thing that we are seeing is real, right? And the person we are talking to, they are real. Our only problem is the digital world. And I think it's good if we have to distrust everything except the ones that we trust. I think
Sounds good.
we should have except the ones that we can verify that are trustworthy. I think we should have done that from the beginning. I think problems come from where we trusted sources and we trusted digital material that we shouldn't have. And remember, in the past, especially before 2016 election, people were saying that, I don't know if you guys, how familiar you are with Cambridge Analytica, they basically identified, they scraped data off of Facebook and they identified people who would be susceptible to a certain kind of lie, and they showed them those lies. And what is striking here, that it did not matter in neither the audience nor the audience, neither the people who were showing them these information did not care what the profile, who the poster was. They just cared about seeing, Hillary Clinton killing Jesus or something, things like that.
Right.
And that's actually the level of the things that they showed. We don't know how much effect it had, but we know that people read things online and don't pay attention where it comes from and believe it. Maybe now, even now, text, we have had that problem with text. People come over and say, hey, listen, this politician said this, right? We learned not to believe that. Now someone shows up and shows a video and says, hey, listen, hey, look, this politician is saying this in this video. Or it seems like we are arriving at a point that we are not going to believe that. We shouldn't believe that either. And we have to go back to the previous system of information, obtaining information, which was mainstream media that is accountable, independent mainstream media that is accountable to each other. I know that's a trigger word for many, but I have been saying this from the beginning when people attack mainstream media. I said, mainstream media is the only media we can trust. I know we can criticize them, but what is the alternative to mainstream media? Fringe media or someone on Facebook? It seems like we are taking several decades to come back to that conclusion that we knew in the early days of free speech. We knew that the only best source of information is a mainstream independent ecosystem of media. And it's this tech utopia that was we have experimented and was offered to us as everyone will be a voice and this will be the best thing for information. Everyone will know everything. It seems like it's becoming the best thing for not only information but also fake, misinformation and disinformation too. It's promoting both of those things, all good and bad. And it seems like at the end of the day, we will have to go back to trusted sources, and the only way to trust a source. I'm not an information literacy or journalism or library science expert, but it seems like we have to go back to edited media that is mainstream and independent, and an ecosystem of this media where they hold each other accountable. I can't see any alternative to that. I don't see social media as an alternative to that. Social media, I see as a personal interaction on steroids. You see someone on the street, they tell you something. How much would you value that? You should value what you see online that much. That's and The video is just very kind of unsettling because you don't doubt the reality of the physical person you see, but online it seems like we have to. That's another level.
Well, and
Uh,
I mean,
I,
real fast, Biagio, when you bring up
yeah.
the trusted media sources, that then creates a ecosystem of probably larger conglomerates
Yeah.
pushing a very specific one that then can be manipulated if you
Yeah.
target one source, right? One or one microphone of
Yeah.
news, it's easier to then disseminate very specific things. And we have evidence of countries and governments
Oh,
changing the
yeah.
narrative drastically because there were only one source
Yes.
handled by that government. So
Yeah.
I think we're all balancing those different ideas of saying it was awesome when we had independent journalists that could post blogs, that we could have access of on the ground news. I mean, look at the Arab Spring, all of these wonderful things that were able to be spread out and amplified by the people
Yeah.
on the ground instead of having to get large, companies to really start to microphone it. But now we're kind of saying, well, all of these other people are using that same thing to spread disinformation and inaccurate information as well. So I think that's a very interesting thing to kind of work on. Biagio, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was so a couple of things. The first of all, Aras, I don't know if you remember, but we did have an alternative on this show, and we had as one of the guests, I think in season one was Giancarlo Fiorella, and we should probably bring him back because he works for Bellingcat, and Bellingcat is exactly one of those kind of like alternatives to mainstream media, and of course the worst option, which is social media only, your friend, what your friend says, and just reposting without looking at. The work that Bellingcat does to me, and again, I've been following them on LinkedIn and kind of using some of their article to learn more about different topics. They label themselves as award-winning international collective of researchers and open source investigators advancing justice and transparency. And from the episode of Giancarlo, I really saw the level of rigor in completing those investigations to cover those type of stories that to me was really unbiased. Now, how many people use Bellingcat instead of social media, instead of mainstream media to get their information? Probably not a lot. I can see they have 70,000 followers on LinkedIn. I don't know on other social media because I'm completely off from them right now because there is so much going on that I'm overwhelmed by information and overwhelmed by comments that like make me doubt in society, society as a whole, to be honest. So I want to stay off and kind of like take the information where I should get them. But that's one of those alternatives that I mean was looking about and talking about. I think not many people know about, but I wanted to shout out Giancarlo again and possibly have him back on the show to talk more about how AI is affecting his job and making it maybe more difficult than it should be, because there is so much to information to be filtered. But the other big point that I mean was talking about is how much when it comes, for example, the election, how much people can know about you and they can show exactly what you want to see and exactly what you want to repost and like, right? They can access what you start liking. So they get an idea of exactly like where you're leaning, like conservative, liberal, and stuff like that. And then based on that, they can keep showing you posts and videos and stuff. They can keep reinforcing your idea, right? I think, and again, this is my personal and humble opinion. It will just create more divide as we go forward, just because again, it will polarize even more your idea by, I don't know, making a fake video of Biden saying some stuff, making a fake video of Trump saying some stuff. Again, based on what you like on social media, based on the people that you follow, it's gonna be super targeted. And that can be not just on social media, there can be calls that go around those same items. They can be email and advertising, all those type of things. They really touch upon one or two points that they really understood that you are feel very deep about, and it, like your ideology. And then boom, it's gonna be your like you're gonna be falling that trap so easily. And I don't have a lot of trust in majority of the people that use social media because I don't think they go to the level of saying, oh, let me search where is this video coming from, or let me see who posted this, let me see if that is real. What was it? I don't know, Trump in that place at that time that day, was it Biden in that place at that time of the day? And honestly, I don't think people will do it. I think they will just say, hey, that's exactly what I'm talking about. He's you know, we should vote for the other guy because he's, I don't want to say bad words, but you know, and that's the exact video I need to share. And then people in your group, in your network will keep resharing and resharing and resharing. And that's why I'm saying if social media and company don't do a great job in labeling stuff or tagging stuff as fake or as AI generated, I think we're gonna be in big trouble. I think again, it's not my area of research, but people that do research in deep fake and stuff like that, I think they are having their best time right now. Because yeah, it's you have the broadcasted media to share those things across the globe. You have the ability to generate from an image and some audio, video people. And by the way, the software that does the Jokic video is called Parrot AI, and we'll post the link as well. So, I mean, I don't see how these elections are not going to be influenced, but stuff like that. But in general, how humanity will not be affected by that
I have a
individual.
question
So,
for you.
yeah.
So what is, do you think it's good or bad that it's not possible to stop this? It's out, right? People are gonna create fake videos sooner or later. Do you think eventually it will
They're already creating it, right? They're already
yeah,
creating it. Jokic
eventually
is a parody, but he's already there.
you are afraid of, you're saying it's gonna be bad, right? It's, we are
Yeah.
in trouble. Do you
Yeah.
think of a trouble in the short term or long term or both?
Both. Because but the time that, so again, I think because of my mindset and because of I went through a PhD program, that the way I try to look at data information and then process them and then say, okay, this is my opinion based on that, is completely different than, and I'm not saying that I'm smarter, I'm just saying I tend to filter on my own, right?
Yeah, someone
On by
who's not
default.
trained.
Yeah, by
Someone who's
default.
not
I don't
trained.
just repost until, you know, I know what they're talking about. I know what is who is the person posting and stuff like that, right? I don't think the average person on social media care about that at all. They see what they like. It makes exactly the point that for many posts and posts are trying to argue against the other party. I'm talking about the US. So it's perfect. They're just going to copy and paste that or repost 10,000 times in every possible group they are in to even make those people more ideological feeling confident that what they are saying is really true. And that is scary. And because it creates even more division and a independently of where your political party is, then I'm pretty sure there are good and bad in both sides, and like in the world, there are good and bad. So if you try to go to the extremistic side of things, and you know, like make it an ideological point that you know the other side is white, the other side is black, and yeah, I think it's scary. I think it
Yeah,
can
that's
create
short term.
big problem. Yeah,
That's short term. And long term, like people
long
are
term,
gonna
I.
realize that those, for example, eventually someone realized that that video was fake.
But
It does
what
get to
people
that.
you think are gonna be able to adapt to that? You're thinking about
Yeah,
people, I'm
adaptation.
thinking about, yeah, I think about the new generation might be able to adapt even quicker than the old folks.
Yeah.
But who is using the most for this political reason is not the new, I mean the new generation, right? So, I mean, I again, I spent before quitting social media, I was reading stuff and I was like, man, this is out of this world. These people cannot think those stuff. And it's really like about, you know, being a nice human being. at a certain point, but they don't care, right? It's like so ideological that they feel so deep about those things that they don't even want to hear the other side. So you get bombarded by stuff that you like because they have the data and they know exactly what you like. You know exactly what is your ideology. And that's scary, right? Because it's super targeted. It's not like in the past they can send, 300 mail to people and say, hey, vote for my party. This is what I'm going to do, right? Now is I can pretty much reach out to everybody on Facebook, everybody on whatever. They have social media that are like specific to a specific party, right? I had no idea what's going on in those social media, but I'm pretty sure, yeah, it might be the end of democracy, like, because some people will riot.
That's what I'm trying to
If,
get. If we can keep democracy through this whole process, where until people, everyone is convinced, majority is convinced that what you see on social, not to take social media seriously. If we get through that, I think then we'll be fine on the other end. But if we don't, then we are not fine.
but I mean, I think, and I don't have the data, but maybe for the next episode we talk about, but I think the amount of people that consume information on social media nowadays is so much that even media have to post on social media, right? Because people are consuming information on social media. So like, again, unless I see an explicit tag, I think majority of people will just repost and don't think about where their video is coming from. And again, because you guys have to go and look at the Jokic one, because if it is a parody, right? So I know from some of the words that it was fake, it could never say that. But other than that, voice was perfect. It looked like in a real press conference. It is so real. And maybe one day we'll do one with you and we talk to fake Amin and not the real Amin. And I want to guess how many people can guess. I mean, can figure it out. That is not real. You is the
No, it's not
avatar.
possible.
You know what I'm saying?
There is a episode. There's a Planet Money. Planet Money is an NPR podcast. There's a Planet Money episode on using ChatGPT and a retired radio host's voice to do an
Okay.
episode, and it is a three part. It is amazing. The I don't want to spoil it, but they have
Don't
guests.
do it.
Yeah, they have guests on. And you should listen to it. It's a very
And I think connected to that, I mean, Russ, I don't know if I'm going the wrong direction, but connected to that, there is episodes of even bigger names, like the story with the new version of ChatGPT creating a voice called Sky, which seems very close to Scarlett Johansson in the movie Her. It's one of those episodes, right? She went through legal action, so I think the voice is down now. But basically, OpenAI seems to have reached to Scarlett Johansson to use her voice for this Sky available voice in the new version 4.0, I think it is, right? And she said no after deciding that it wasn't wanted to be part of something like that. And they replicated using her voice in the movie, something very close to that. And I mean, now they shut it down because she's taking legal action. But again, so realistic that she said that their best friends were like, oh, I can talk to you now in ChatGPT, and she said like what, like I didn't agree to that. So it's yeah, it is, it can be very scary in the short run, and but even in the long run, because I think we are biased and we approach and process information very much different from other people that are just on social media and ready to repost and share and like and don't care about the source, right? So that's the scary part in the short run and in the long run, but especially in the short run.
There was an original point I was making about so the example about is I am here in this podcast saying I'm an Android guy, right? So there's information in this about my product interests, product preference, right? So I am putting that information out. That's the information I intend to publish. And I'm using my voice. I'm not trying to publish my voice. I'm trying to publish my interest in a product. And I would be completely okay with people if they were listening and scraping data off of podcasts to find out, technology podcasts, let's say, find out what percentage of people have interest in a certain product and what percentage have interest in another product. That'd be completely fine with me. But what the Google, this article that we are going to post shows, they took more information that was intended to be published, and that is voice and writing style, conversation style. All of these informations are learned by their model, all of it, right? And they don't intend to publish this. They don't intend. I'm not intending to publish my likeness when I go and sit in front of a camera and talk. I intend to publish the content of what I said. So I think that's a better way of looking at it than saying the things that I explicitly intended to publish is fair game. Take it and use it. Use it for an analysis. Use it for your models. But things that are a side effect of that, like my voice and my likeness and my style of speaking, my approach to conversation, my writing style, those are mine. I don't want to publish those. But I don't know how to enforce that. What do you guys think?
Well, that gets to be
Well,
the next part is like, how do you enforce it? Is there legal ramifications for that? And then everything has to be legal, which not everyone has access to. You know, that can be a very laborious and expensive process, but we're expecting maybe some people that don't have a PhD in something related to technology now litigating or writing the laws to oversee this, which just like, you know, war on drugs and all of those different explorations of policy, let's say, that we've utilized are always lacking or always behind what could be done then.
Another big problem with these things is that people don't realize that, but many times we use free app, right? That have generative AI or even social media, right? We agree to give property to the app and the software, what we produce with it most of the time, right? Nobody reading the whole thing, right? You're saying, oh, it's a free app, let's just play with it. And then because you agree to that, that's really their data at that point. So
We are not lawyers.
unless
We're
you
not
want to pay
lawyers.
two.
They probably have a team of lawyers who looked into it and they said, it's an illegal risk, let's go for it. I completely agree with that. We're not lawyers. We're talking about the ethical aspect. Is that ethical? I say no, because I am publishing the content of what I'm saying. That's my intention to publish, not everything that is around it, like how my
But
voice.
there is no division of the two. They come as a whole, right?
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the challenge. Well, how do we separate that? Like, can we
Oh.
write a law? Can we write a law that separates what I'm intending to publish from what I'm
I mean,
intending?
I think I agree with you. It's so basically what you're saying is like, okay, I write a research paper, right? And that's what I want to say, and ends there. I mean, I have a writing styles, but pretty much ends there. That's how I communicate. But when I creating other type of content like this podcast, there is more into it, right? There is more into it than just what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm just yeah. I think that would be cool because it will probably prevent to recreate a new Amin. But honestly, I
That's
don't
what I'm
think
trying
that
to do.
Amin 2.0. But I don't think it's I don't think it's separated by any means. So as of right now, I mean, you're stuck. You're giving your data out, and there's gonna be another Amin. No way around it.
Yeah, I'm so perfect. People are after.
Yeah.
Well, the next part about this, and I think there's some companies or some startups that are probably messing with it, but for people like us that do have a lot of recorded content that could easily be grabbed and utilized and maybe a model trained on that, after I'm gone, y'all, I'm putting this on record. You can take my voice and make me say whatever the hell you want, make
That's
my
fine.
family happy, you know what I mean? Let them talk to me still. They're probably gonna be done with me by that point. But for like the one person that's like, it'd be nice to talk to Russ, go right ahead, you know, ask me questions, do whatever I want. But along with that, now, even if I've given permission for that, how do I know what they're gonna make me, you know, the afterlife me say that then are my family gonna be upset about that, that this company now put words in my mouth? You know what I mean? Like it snowballed this really cool universal experience to continue to talk with someone that's gone can be very easily corrupted into something that is heartbreaking and not what we were intending. So yes.
Russ,
Responsible
this
if you
is,
hurt someone after you die.
yeah,
Who is
Russ,
that
this is the
you?
perfect, sorry, I'm jump
But
over. But Russ, this is the perfect call to invite a guest to our show, which is Raffaele Ciriello, because he actually has a study on a company that recreates dead people, and he can talk more about the dark side of that and the implication they had on some people. And some of them were extremely bad because then at some point they kind of had to pause it, and some people were so into this fake person that ended up, you know, suicide and stuff like that. So we will definitely have an episode on this, and it's a legitimate concern.
Perfect.
Now I just want to say something on, because as of right now we've been talking about the dark side of this, right? And of course there are negative consequences that comes with it. On the bright side of it, what do you guys think? What is the good, the bad, sorry, what is the good that can come with it? And why? I have a few points, but I just want to see what you guys think about that.
I think in general, AI is a productivity tool. And like it's supposed to help the economy. It's as any technology, if we look at it like any other technology, it's supposed to make us help us work less. And that's what technology has done. That like since we had trains, we carried less stuff. We put it on a train. And with ChatGPT, we write less because ChatGPT can give us a first draft. And I don't know the contribution to economy by like a companion, AI companion or
Oh, let's talk another time. We'll talk another time about
yeah,
that.
but
But that's a super, it's a super cool topic. What about you, Russ? Because I have my mindset on a specific application for education, which I think it will benefit both the students and the professors. But I even beyond education, I'm trying to figure it out other way that people can use to, you know, I have a couple of ideas also beyond that, but I want to hear it from you, Russ.
yeah, I think it comes down to utilizing it in a way that makes our lives better or simpler or less tedious. Maybe that's the best word. Because I still like the creative parts of it, but for me, as someone who does some writing every now and then, the largest and most fearful part of a project is the blank page for me, just sitting there and being like, how do I start the first damn sentence? And what I'm thinking could be done with this is it gives you a structure to then be even more creative, not having to worry about your simple grammar and those things that take a lot of time and a lot of skill could be adjusted, because now you're saying, oh, that's all taken care of for me. Now, how do I use the right word in the right place? How do I be more creative, more artistic, more poetic, even in things that might not have so much of a background in poetry, like academic writing? Maybe you'll see some people be able to explore some other ways that might not be traditionally known, or more style coming through, because that's going to be the only way you can prove that it wasn't just ChatGPT writing what the data sets. So it could be very interesting. I look at it very similar to what things like CGI used to be for the movies. When it came out, they were like, well, there's going to be no actors anymore. And there are still actors. We're just able to do incredible things with it. But could there be a point where then there are no more actors, there's no more writers, there's not, like, that is still a very real thing, and the technology is only going to get better. And we saw that with the strike, with the writer strike and the actor strike, that these are real implications that come from it. Again, going back to the dark side, but I think maybe this creation, this tool can allow us to create even better things as a human society.
I agree.
And I kind of agree with both you said. Like, I think it's a tool that puts you on steroid if you use it efficiently and effectively, right? I think about how many things I'm capable of doing right now by leveraging these tools that I wasn't be able to do it. It's just like I don't have enough hours in the day to do all the things I do if I wasn't leveraging those tools in. For example, creating LinkedIn posts, which again, it might seem easy to do, but I'm not. I study some courses in marketing, but I'm not. It's not my skills, and I'm not a mother tongue speaker. And sometimes using the right terms leads to more visibility, and that I think helps a ton. As you said, even just starting it out, I want to talk about A, B, and C. Give me a draft, and then of course I don't copy and paste straightforward, but I use it as a starting point. It's not a blank page anymore. It's not gonna take me an hour and a half. It's gonna take me 15, 20 minutes at most, right? And thinking about education, I have two perfect application of it, right? You're teaching a course about, for example, data analytics, and there is new advancement on techniques and tools that you can use for that. But you're teaching online, and you already created those video. Creating those video takes forever, if you want to do the things right. And now you can just change the transcript and have yourself saying the thing with the updated information. Right. So now it's not going to take me forever. I can keep updating materials every year, stay super current. The student benefit from that, right? Because I'm not teaching the stuff of 2 years ago just because I don't have the physical time to create those videos, right? And that I think will help a lot. And beyond that, I think is the ability to have a customized experience, offer a customized experience, right? I can now pretty much address every single student and customize their learning based on their starting point and the way they study. And before it just wasn't possible, right? If I have 50 students and they all learning a different way, I'm one person, right? But now I can, hey, try this type of exercise or trying to apply this or trying to apply that. And for example, this semester they asked me, a case study, and I use AI to build the data sets in a way that was perfect to explain the content that I was trying to cover in data analytics. I use AI to create a scenario that is very realistic. It's almost like a company, other big problem, right? I never find a company that say, hey, you can use my data, you can use a realistic scenario, other than for a few competition. I had the luck to have a company sponsoring them, but it's very tough, right? So now I can be very realistic. I can really go over what is the issue with them with example, even week in and week out. I didn't have them at the beginning of the semester. I had to adapt the content based on my learner. And I think that's so powerful and honestly wouldn't be possible without AI. And unless, you work 24/7 and you don't have a life, which I'm already close to that. So I definitely have to thank AI for this. And I think the student will thank AI as well because I share with them as well that I use AI for that. And they can do the same, right? If they like a specific industry and they are not good at scraping data, they can ask AI to simulate data and then they can really delve into that. So I think overall, and by the way, I use the term delve into that. And I just saw a post that says that after ChatGPT, the term delving into in research paper like skyrocket. So I guarantee you I'm not scripted by ChatGPT in this chat, but I kind of sound like it. But anyway, that was my strength in the kind of education domain. But I think we can
Right.
go beyond that with the ability of customizing content for the
Yeah.
users. Yeah.
Gentlemen, as always, these conversations wind and weave and dive in and delve into a lot of different content. But I always enjoy these conversations and I look forward to our future ones. Thank you so much for talking with me today.